Hello, this is Dahlia Masachi, writing coach for social change makers, public speaker, and author of Writing to Make a Difference, 25 powerful techniques to boost your community impact. Welcome to Writing Wednesdays, your opportunity to get essential writing tips and advice, as well as get and give feedback on a wide range of documents that you are asked to write. By working together as a virtual community, we will help each other improve our pieces and better engage our readers. On Writing Wednesdays, we always discuss several tips of the week on the selected topic, and then we go no later than 45 minutes past the hour. Sometimes we review samples that were submitted for that month. Sometimes we speak with a special guest, as we are today, and sometimes we even do a writing exercise together. Today's topic is the importance of graphic design to complement your writing, and I'm pleased to introduce our special guest, Nadia Costigier. Hi, Nadia.
Hi, how are you?
I'm just fine. Welcome. Let me tell you a little bit about...
Me.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you for agreeing to be part of our Writing Wednesdays community. Let me introduce Nadia just a bit, and then we will have a conversation with her. So Nadia Costigier is a co-owner and graphic designer at Design Action Collective here in Oakland, California. Design Action provides creative communication services for the movement for social justice. Founded in 2002, Design Action has grown to an 11-person multilingual print design and web design and development service. Nadia has been with Design Action since 2003 and has worked in the print medium for 25 years. She's also a good friend of mine, and we've worked together on book projects, and I look forward to working with her again. She's excellent. So welcome again, Nadia. And we look forward to having a lively conversation today.
Yes, I've been looking forward to it.
Excellent. All right. Well, as we get started here, I just want to make sure that everyone gets online. Hopefully you have a computer in front of you. And you can go to the website, which is set up for today, writingtomakeadifference.com. You go to writingtomakeadifference.com, you'll see that on the first blog post on that website is about today's Writing Wednesdays call with Nadia. And if you scroll down just a bit, you can see her picture, so you can put a picture with a voice. And there's Nadia's bio, and then we have actually a guest post by Nadia that you can look at later. And if you keep scrolling down to the bottom of that web post, you'll see where it says the images for our conference call are located here. And I'm not going to ask you to click there yet, because we'll get there with Nadia in a moment. So let's just start our conversation, Nadia. I'd like to find out more about, start out with the importance. Why you believe, as I do, that graphic design is such an important part of copywriting and just publication in general these days?
Well, yes, I think graphic design and visual creative communications in general really enhance the content that you're writing and the messages that you're trying to put out there. By creating this sort of visual, almost like a deeper resonance with your audience, it also makes content easier to digest. It makes it funner to look at. No offense to the content, but if it's enhanced with color and photography and just even some simple design tools and tricks, then it makes it a much more enjoyable experience for your reader.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Well, since you do have so many images right there on the site, I was wondering if you could kind of show us maybe an example or two of what you're talking about?
Yeah, sure. So if people want to click the link to get to some images that I uploaded to our blog site, hopefully people can get there. It's also at designaction.org and click on the blog.
So we can just click on the word here after mm-hmm. the images for conference mm-hmm. call are located here. Okay. All right.
Okay. So yeah, there's graphic design. I think really there's a couple ways you can think about it, whether it's functional or conceptual design. I think for our purposes, we mostly do functional design. It's really nice to do beautiful, wild-looking graphics that are going around on the website and beautiful infographics, which are kind of eye candy, but sometimes the actual content can get lost in that. So good graphic design really works to solve the problems of getting the message out there, and also making sure that the content is legible and understandable. So if you look at just the first examples I put there, it's just a little bit of a before and after of, here's the text written in a Word document and then how it gets transformed into the piece. So I pulled a couple pieces. One is a campaign piece for somebody who is running for office in Oakland, and just the way that we highlighted her name, especially because she was running her political campaign, but also, how we highlighted her actual platform and used use of color and typography to really enhance that message. And then another example I have here is for a report. Again, just showing just some very basic graphic design techniques and tools for taking what is just a flow of text in your Word document and laying it out and designing it into a way that makes it more digestible and legible, and adding in photography and color and some beautiful fonts to make it a much more pleasing reading experience. I can also just show you the second example is another report design. Again, there was a lot of content to actually place into this report, but this is actually a good example of how you can think about breaking up your text into different sections. This shows a pull quote. It shows a small text box that is treated differently using a colored box behind the text and then making the what we call reversing out, which is making the text white against the dark background, and also including some data visuals to actually enhance some of the key research that this organization was trying to get out.
Great. Yeah, I can just imagine what you must have started with, just the straight text, and you were able to break it out and make it much more visually appealing and kind of welcoming to the reader. I'm just kind of glancing at it.
Yeah, and really, truth be told, is that often you might get somebody who is skimming your report, and so what are the things that you can think of that you want that skimmer to be able to take away from that? So that's why things like really pulling out some key quotes or some key bits of information into pull quotes, or the captions on your images, and also just like the text boxes, thinking about those types of things that if you imagine that you were just flipping through a report, what you want that reader to take away.
When I've worked with designers, I've found that it's helpful to start thinking about design pretty early on in terms of what I want to make sure gets seen right away, and I write it with that in mind. What would you say about that? When do you think is a good time for folks to start thinking about what's most important and how things are going to be positioned, that kind of thing?
Well, I think you're doing a great job, Dahlia, of thinking of design as you're writing, because That is like probably the most perfect time to start thinking about it. Really thinking about like what, how can certain sections of the content be highlighted in different ways that create variety in the layout. There's a, you know, the eye wants to, you know, see different things and have large blocks of text be broken up so that it just is more, it feels more digestible for a reader. And so if you're thinking about even things like subheadings in order to break up blocks of text, or if you want to think about what are some really important things you can pull out into small text boxes or sidebars, and again, like with the data visualization, I mean, that's a whole other realm, but really, like, if there's some, instead of just writing some numbers, could we show those numbers or that data in a different type of way?
Mm-hmm. Like, when you say data visualization, is the kind of common word for that infographics?
It is, and people really do flip between those two pieces of terminology. You know, if you look at example number two, I would say those are really good examples of data visualization. You know, in some of it in quite traditional way, which is in pie charts or stack bar graphs. You know, if you look at the figures of the family or the working mother, you can see that that's portrayed in a different way. So there's like many, many ways to actually design and style your traditional charts and graphs. And then there's also, and we'll skip number three since we're talking about data visualization and go to number four of the samples that I put up. That is, I would say that this is an infographic. This is the racial wealth divide, why housing matters infographic that we did. It took a lot of conceptualization and a lot of back and forth and really working together with the writers and making sure that the metaphor is working, that the concepts are getting out there, that the key data is being represented in a way where people can look at this online and take away this important information. I just have one more example of an infographic. It actually went with that report up there, the third shift infographic, which is number five, also just shows another way. This is more like an illustration that pulls out some key information that they wanted to get out. So it's another way of taking your information and illuminating it.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm just noticing there are just a few key words here. So mm-hmm. My guess is that the writer helped identify what keywords or what may have been subheads before, and that they became keywords in the infographic.
Exactly. Yeah, we really, you know, as far as the way our approach is that we really need to work closely with the writers on these types of things to be able to make sure that that key information is being pulled out and represented in a properly and relevantly, and also and that the writer is making sure that that content they need to have shown is there.
Well, that actually that goes to another question I had, which is what kind of information do you need to get started on a design project?
Yeah, well, generally, ideally, we like to work with your finalized content, but we know that content's never all the way final until it's ready to go to print. But you know, the content has been proofread and edited at the least, knowing that often once the text has been laid out into the design piece, it's actually much easier to pick out the typos and make some changes. So there's always time for going back and forth and making editorial changes after the layout. And it's good to build in that time too. But ideally, you don't want to be making sweeping changes after the designer's already laid everything out, because that means, you know, shifting things around and changing pages and everything. So Which, you know, if you're the client or if you're working with a client, then that's going to add up for them also as far as time and cost. So that's also something to consider. But I think, like, you know, when you're writing your content and getting ready to work with a designer, also thinking about what images would be useful. And that's also, you know, a partnership that you can have with the designer as far as looking for images together, like what makes sense. Obviously, in the work that we do in the nonprofit social sector, that we encourage imagery that actually comes from the organizations for the work that they're doing. So that makes it more real and more, you know, it affects the reader more deeply by seeing the real photography. But, you know, there's also ideas for illustration and things like that. So I think bringing those ideas to the designer and having the process of discussing that and working through that is very useful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You said real photography and illustration, so I assume that means you don't like to deal with clip art or stock photos.
Well, clip art has its place, you know, and of course, again, there's many great stock imagery resources out there, like ThinkStock or iStock, which has some great illustrated graphics and also photography that can be used. And that's a great resource when you have a low budget and when you're trying to do things quickly. Again, it's like, you know, it might not always be the most perfect image that you need, but sometimes it is. And then ideally, if you have more of a budget, if you have more time, then that goes into working with the designer as maybe getting some custom illustration or some custom photography.
Well, since you brought up money, we might as well talk about it. Do you have any advice on how to minimize design costs? You've mentioned so far making sure that your work is as complete as possible in terms of the content before you go to the designer, so there's not a lot of unnecessary back and forth. You've also mm-hmm. mentioned that getting low-cost stock images or not really nice clip art might help if you don't have the budget to use some custom images. What are some other ways?
I think those are kind of the main ways I can think of as far as trying to keep costs down. Ideally, you know, your designer would be able to work within a certain budget, like, you know, deciding what's a good process for your relationship. So that also helps make sure that things are sort of set up in the beginning about what that process is going to look like how many rounds of proofs would you see? When do hourly charges start kicking in as far as making editorial changes after everything's been laid out? Those types of things are kind of really good to get up front when procuring the relationship.
Good advice.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, you know, obviously as you're writing and you have a great concept, please share that, because, you know, that's just a great way to start off the process without having to do a lot of back and forth for design prototypes. And I'll just show a quick example again so we can look at something. Number three is a small annual report. And basically, they actually, when they were writing, wanted to use this metaphor of nurturing, slow growth, that our society is sustainable. And so this metaphor transformed into the metaphor of fruits that take a long time to grow and then create this beautiful fruit. So we use the concept of pistachios and mangosteens and carabines to use that as a metaphor. This translated throughout the whole report using this photography and specific illustrations to to just sort of further that concept. So again, like if you're writing and you're coming up with these great metaphors, then definitely that is like the meat of what a designer loves to sink their teeth into of being able to visually represent that metaphor.
Great. So did they come to you with that idea, the fruit metaphor?
I think in this case, they actually had come with the idea ahead of time. So then we were able to rip off of that. There are definitely times where groups will come to us, not really, they're just having some very standard text, but they would like to see some kind of conceptual design that we can pull out of the content. So it can go either way, where you can ask the designer to offer some different design prototypes of different design directions that the piece can go in.
Yeah, I found myself that when I work with designers, just the collaboration can really spark some creativity in me that I wasn't aware of. So we kind of have a back and forth, and the ideas are flowing really, really nicely. So I found that collaboration, I mean, whether or not I have the idea before I meet the designer, the ideas often will flow once we're working on it together.
Yes, that's why I just love collaborating with people and getting that stream of ideas flowing. It's really the best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Well, kind of on the flip side of that, could you share some common mistakes that people make when they are trying to work with designers?
Yeah, I think, again, just going back to the proofreading, I've had the experience, definitely, of laying out a huge report and it really had not been proofread properly, and having to really go in and just make all these sort of tweaky editorial changes throughout the text. It was very time-consuming, and it definitely added up onto the client's bill because of making these sort of small changes. And it's totally a given when working with a designer that after it's laid out that you're going to see things differently. It's just enough time has passed in between. It's laid out now in a different way, and so things pop up. But I think that would probably be a mistake, I guess. Another thing is, which there's this constant, seems like not a constant tension, but there is a tension where writers will want to have more content and designers will want to have less content. And I've heard people say that, like, oh, designers always say there needs to be less text. And so there is that kind of tension. So I think there is like a push and pull that happens between a writer and a designer, or an editor and a designer, as far as like how can we work in all that like valuable information but not have it be overcrowded. And I think on that note, I'll scroll down to number 10. This is just a layout which I showed what happens when one time somebody asked, well, can't we just have all the text go all the way up to the edges of the page? And so I did this sort of mock-up to show what that looks like. And even though, like, we're still using subheadings and colors and things like that in this mock-up, really, it's like it's not an ideal reading situation because we really need to create that kind of white space in margins. Margins is like the key rule of thumb for design. And so just understanding that you can't use every single inch of white space on the page for the text, because it's going to make it so that the reader isn't going to really want to read that as much. And it's going to decrease the level of design.
Mm-hmm. It kind of looks a little daunting. as a reader, just looking at it, like, there's so much on here. And you're right. It's there's not much space for my eyes to rest between sentences or It looks really crowded.
Exactly.
Not very inviting. Are there any other examples on here that you wanted to point out, Nadia? It looks like you've got quite a few on here.
I have a lot of examples on here, and I know we're kind of jumping around. I mean, but if you just scroll down to the example right below that one, number 11, that one really shows a really nice use of white space, or what we also call negative space. And this is kind of a really underlooked factor in graphic design, that there really needs to be negative space. Again, like you said, to create, to let your eye rest, to not feel like that it's too daunting to read, and also it just creates like a balance. Like there needs to be that kind of, that negative space is almost as important, you know, as what's actually being placed on the page. So I just wanted to show that example, to show, like, you know, ways, again, here's an example of pulling out specific quotes and specific information just through the use of typography and color. And when I say typography, I'm meaning the choice of fonts that are selected. And as graphic designers, we have a wealth of fonts that we can choose from to really make the design succeed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Well, again, with that example number 11, there's not a lot of text on here. So the bits that you did use, those, I guess, were prioritized by the writer or the editor, right?
Exactly. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that might be a good tip for us when we're approaching a designer, to have kind of in mind what's a priority, like first priority, second priority, like what must get in there and what could get in there, but it might have to be cut.
That's a great idea, I think, and that's actually one of the things that we also do visually is like, how do we create a visual hierarchy of information? And I know I'm speaking specifically here now around print design, and I'm not touching on web design at all because that's a whole other specific way of writing. But again, it's the same thing on websites, like how do you create a hierarchy and a priority of information. I do want to say that if you scroll down to number 12, that there's two brochure designs there where there actually is quite a lot of text for a brochure in both of these, but just by, again, using color in different ways, a couple little design elements that tie into the overall theme, and then also just the typography, but being able to pull out the key sections or reversing out certain important information with colored boxes, we are able to actually make these beautiful-looking brochures and still be able to satisfy the writers by keeping all their text.
I'm just looking at this brochure, and the front panel there on the that says Our, L-A-O, L-A-O.
Uh-huh. Our Lao Lao.
Other people. Yeah. They have a little tagline right here. What do you think of taglines as a designer? Does it help you?
Yeah, taglines are great, and specifically when you're working with the logo design, and that's actually part of their logo. So I think taglines or subtitles on your reports, those types of things are a great way to show the work that's being done in a short, bite-sized way, so that, you know, you could look at this, the image of the logo or the graphic, and say, like, okay, Our Lao Lao, this is a very specific place on the island of Saipan, but, like, you know, they know that it's their bay, but what are we talking about? So that's why the tagline was important to just amplify that.
Definitely. Well, I mean, I think that goes to kind of the general concept in writing and editing of conciseness, making sure that things are, they're not wasting words. They, every word that you use actually is making a difference in your sentence or in your piece. And it's really important when you get to design, because you don't want to clutter it up. We saw what happens if you do clutter it. It becomes not very readable.
Yeah. And I also want to make the point about where your piece, this piece is going to be seen. So thinking about the venue or the distribution method of it is also a very important factor to think about ahead of time, because that will kind of dictate a lot of the design. How do we create the design so it's visible? So will it be, I have one example. Sorry, we have to scroll back up. But I have another example up here, and this is the America Needs a New Foreign Policy, number 6. This is actually a poster-sized piece that was placed in BART, which is our public transport system in the Bay Area. And so this was created, you know, for a poster, that's kind of a lot of text, because usually posters are just sort of seen in passing. But in this case, we knew that the audience was going to be sitting on BART, not with nothing to do except be able to read all this information. So I think really thinking like, it's, are you creating a brochure that's going to be on a table at a conference where people are already information saturated, or is it a place where people can really digest the information? Is, you know, so thinking about that distribution method.
That's a great point. I wouldn't have thought of that as a writer or editor. So, yeah, thank you. Are there any other ones on here? We have a few more minutes. Are there any other ones on here you wanted to discuss?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think I just, some of the examples really just show you a difference of, you know, design styles, who your audience is. If you scroll down to number 7 below the BART poster, this was a report for Silicon Valley Toxics Coalition, which was actually aimed at students. So there's a lot going on in this design. It's very design heavy. It takes much more time and conceptualization for doing each page of the design and layout. So there's two spreads there, or 4 pages shown. But since this was aimed at a student population, we wanted it to make it really lively, lots of illustrations, and very cool looking. As opposed to number 8, which is a much cleaner design, much more wanting to be more policy-oriented. These types of things also, like knowing the audience, is really going to be important for the designer to know how to set up that design. You know, where it's going to be read, who's reading it. Are we doing policy, or are we activating students? And again, if you go down to number 9, that's a newsletter from a POWER, which is the San Francisco Grassroots Economic Justice Organization, and they have a membership of both English and Spanish speakers. So this newsletter is designed to be able to give equal weight to both languages and to keep it, you know, the newsletter goes out to donors and it goes out to their membership. So they're very activist organization. So how do we keep the tone of their organization, yet still be able to reach a wide reach of audience? And I think that this newsletter actually does a really nice job of creating a variety. Even though there's a lot of text and the photos had to be a little bit small, just having certain design tricks and different blocks of color, we were able, pulling out certain quotes, we were able to make it a visually interesting piece that I think that really captures the essence of the organization and would still feel like this organization is doing important work and for all the donors and funders of the organization.
Excellent. Well, I'm sure we'll folks can scroll down and look at the other ones as well, the last couple ones on there. Before I let you go, Nadia, I wanted to ask you, do you have any books or websites that you would recommend for folks to look at?
Yeah. Well, I don't really have any books besides yours, which I think is great. But I just put at the bottom of this post some links for some of the websites that I go to for just thinking about different ways, thinking about design in a more theoretical way. There's also some links to some websites that actually have very specific tools and techniques, such as Smashing Magazine and InDesign Secrets. InDesign is the graphic design program that we use for layouts. And so we actually, it's a professional tool that that if people are using it in-house or working with a designer, or if you're trying to do, if you're trying to learn design also, then I really recommend that website.
Excellent. Great. Thank you very much for that. And also, speaking of generous things, I know that you have a special offer from Design
That's
Action
right.
for folks on this call. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. So basically, we have offered for anybody who's participating on this phone call right now, be able to get 15% off of our graphic design services. We have this offer going through the rest of the year, so if you are interested in that offer, please contact me, and I will talk with you about your design needs. And that's what we also do, is we talk through what people need for their designs, and also, you know, custom estimate everything, and really try to keep, we try to work within budgets.
Great, and I know for a fact that you do, because on the projects that we worked on, you've been very, very conscious of the budget, and I'm sure everyone appreciates that.
Yeah.
yeah. So I wanted to just thank you once again, Nadia Costa-Gear, our special guest, and she's with the Design Action Collective. Thanks again for sharing your wisdom, and I'm sure people will look forward to checking out those websites and talking to you about the special offer that you talked to us about. I'm going to unmute everybody here. So everyone is unmuted, and I wanted to see if anyone had a question that you'd like to share with Nadia and everyone else here. Question or comment?
Yeah, I'm wondering, with that consultation, are you able to talk about general things like what colors to use when it comes to branding and how to add different schemes and things along
mm-hmm.
those lines? Okay, great.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely the designer's job, is to what we have, what we call is a discovery process. Is to really try to understand, you know, the goal of your work or the goal of this piece that you need us to design, the audience, and also to talk with you about, you know, yeah, color is a very important aspect of design and brings out a lot of different moods and tones and styles. So that's something that we would talk through with you to make sure that it's the right palette and other design elements are the right things for your organization or for your specific design need.
Great. And that could be used overall, whether it's the website or brochures, but
yeah,
it's along the
yes.
lines of branding. So.
Yes. Yeah, that goes in like with your visual identity. If you have specific colors that are called out in your logo palette, and that gets translated across to website design, you can continue using it throughout all of your visual pieces.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Nadia. Is there anything else folks would like to ask or say? You can always get in touch with Nadia through
mm-hmm.
my website on the blog. You can always leave a comment, and I'll share it with her, or through her direct link there on the blog post. Also, I wanted to remind everyone that the recording of today's session is available on the Writing Wednesdays archive, and this call and actually recordings of recent Writing Wednesdays calls are there on writingtomakeadifference.com. And if you are signed up to the mailing list for Writing Wednesdays, you will also receive a link via email to that recording as it goes online in the next few days. The next Writing Wednesdays call will be on Wednesday, April 2nd. And the topic will be storytelling, and we will be speaking with another special guest who's also a friend of mine. Writing Wednesdays are usually the first Wednesday of the month, unless a holiday intervenes. And I would once again like to thank Nadia Costa-Gear and everyone on the call today for coming, participating, and learning, hopefully, from each other. I look forward to speaking with you again soon. So happy writing and goodbye for now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.